And you know what time it is. It is now 4 minutes. 4 minutes past the hour in the morning machine, a machine that makes your mornings move. Thank you so much for making a machine a part of your daily morning routine. Part of that morning routine means your favorite power hour, the one and only power hour, and that is Mental Health and Mindset Monday. We are all here this morning, and yet again, we always start with the mental health side, with Dr. Earl Bowen Jr., who is assistant professor in social and behavioral science and a university counselor at the Cheney University of Pennsylvania, HBCUs. He is licensed by the Pennsylvania State Board of Social Workers, Marriage and Family Therapists, and Professional Counselors. He is also certified in dialectical behavioral therapy. Now, Dr. Bowen has completed countless research. Countless. You can't even count this on your fingers, how much he has done for the mental health side. So when he speaks, we are listening to get better at being better. And furthermore, additionally, Dr. Bowen serves as associate rabbi at Congregation Temple Beth El, located in my hometown, and it's only a matter of time, because it's important to Dr. Bowen that Joel Embiid comes back and we all healthy for the playoffs, because I say that, I give him a sports update, because it is important to Dr. Bowen. Every week, it is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Playoff time is coming to the city. Dr. Bowen, powerful morning to you.
Hey, Brother Rob. Good every day. Everything's good. How you doing?
Feeling good, feeling great. And I was a little under the weather this weekend, but you know what? Still, really? The show must go on. And
absolutely.
I feel well rested. I'm energized. I'm ready to go. And like I said, it's about to be playoff time coming into the city. Great win over James Harden the other day. But we could talk about that at any other time. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But
we can do that. We will.
But there's a lot of March Madness going on. There's a lot of emotional roller coasters going on. And I want to say that it, depending on the team that you're rooting for, it could be up, it could be down, but it does affect people's mental health. And I just wanted to ask you real quick before you dive into it, how much does sports play a role into one's mental health? Because you got the highs, especially when your team is doing good, you're really feeling good, feeling great, you do things that are above and beyond yourself that are great, and then there's the other side of it. When your team loses, uh-oh, the bottom crashes out. So how much does sports play a role in one's mental health, especially these days?
Yeah, that's a great question, Brother Rob. You know, I think one thing is it's a diversion from the everyday pressures and the lifestyle that we lead that, you know, when you have a sports, your favorite sports team is playing, or you just want to be entertained by seeing somebody play ball, it's a diversion from some of the pressures that we face during the course of our lives. So that's one probably positive aspect of it. The other thing is that I often tell particularly people in the athletic program here at the university, is that it also, in a way, it mirrors life. You know, in life, you know, we win sometimes, and sometimes we lose. But every time we lose a game, it's always a lesson to be learned about what we can do next time we play that's going to make us better. So sometimes sports can also be a metaphor for the things that we experience in life. And the main thing about that is that it's not always that you fall down, but that you get up. And every time you fall down, you come back. And you come back stronger and wiser. So a lot of times sports can be very, very positive because it teaches us a lot of very useful things about life and our livelihood. So, you know, I like sports for basically those those reasons, and the entertainment value is really immense. So this is an exciting time because right now, to me, the college playoffs, March Madness, is sort of taken front and center stage from some of the NBA games, at least for me right now, because of the excitement that the young people bring, both the men as well as the women. So it's pretty exciting time. So that's a great question. And actually, that's one we should probably talk more about in the future. But anyway, today, as I promised on last week, I wanted to pick up on this conversation about mental health and marijuana. Some people would just call it cannabis, but looking at it from a lot of different angles, you know, marijuana or cannabis is something that can affect us physically, so it affects our body. It also has an impact on, obviously, our mind, and I'm going to talk in a few minutes about specifically how injecting marijuana affects the brain, which is a mental aspect of our lives. But as you know, Brother Rob, you know, it also has some medical benefits. That right now we see more and more medical marijuana being prescribed by doctors.
Very true.
As a treatment modality, right? And it also recreational. We're talking about sports, but sometimes marijuana could have just an effect on our recreational lives. So several points, but one of the points I want to make is that it has some therapeutic value. But what goes along with that is that it also has some adverse effects, and it has some side effects, as medication will have in general. So there are risks involved, and then there are also some benefits. So one of the things I want to stress this morning is that what happens is that when you use marijuana, it actually it goes through your body in general, but also it goes through the brain. Now, for some people, its influence can serve as a stress reliever. And so it has this use, but in terms of as a stress reliever. So I've talked to many people that talk about how it can be used to relieve stress. A lot of it, though, is based on the quantity and how frequent you use marijuana. So it's based on frequency as well as quantity. But for better or for worse, marijuana is part of our new reality right now. And basically, it's one of the reasons is it generates large revenue to states. It's a source of additional money that comes in at the state level. And as I mentioned last week, our governor in Pennsylvania has proposed some legislation introducing the legalization for marijuana in Pennsylvania, and I'm sure you're aware it's also legalized in other states and also in Washington, D.C. So these softening of laws will probably lead to an increase in the regular use of both marijuana in terms of its recreation, but also in terms of its medical use. And so some of the positive areas of use of marijuana, particularly in terms of the medical profession, it has been shown to reduce muscle spasms, seizures, things of that nature. It also can be used or has been used, continues to be used for people who are undergoing chronic or acute disease treatment like cancer, for example. So it has some medical benefits. So as I mentioned before, the question is really how often it's injected, how often you use it. And so that becomes very, very important. I know that in many instances it's also been used as a way of dealing with emotional distress, anxiety, depression. And so these things are things that we know that one of the benefits of the use of marijuana is that it can be used in those ways. And that's really one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about it this morning, because I think it does have some relationship to one's mental health, although we're going to talk more about its physical impact as well. And so I want to talk for the next few minutes about its impact on the brain and also on other organs within our body. So when you use marijuana, what you're doing is obviously you're altering the functioning of your brain as well as the organs in your body. But I think there are some buts here that I want to go over. One of the most unpredictable parts of using marijuana has to do with the amount of THC in the drug. So that's something that we have to be aware of. So I want to talk now a little bit more specifically about its impact on the central nervous system. So the central nervous system is made up of two major parts. It's made up of your brain and your spinal cord. And so what's happening is the central nervous system is the processing center that controls all of your body systems and organs. So basically, when you think about it, it's responsible for keeping your body working like it should be. Now, that works in conjunction with the brain, because the brain determines how you think, how you feel, and how you act. So when we talk about, for example, cognitive behavioral therapy, we're talking about changing how you think. And if you change how you think, then it determines how you feel and how you act. But the brain, though, is very, very important in terms of the use of marijuana, because marijuana basically, as a chemical, it alters the functioning of the brain. Now, how does that relate to the spinal cord? Is that your brain communicates with the rest of your body through the spinal cord and through nerves. The spinal cord is, the best way to describe it is like a two-way street that takes in information from your body and carries it to your brain and then sends back messages. So what happens with marijuana when you use it is that it causes changes in the brain, which in turn sends these signals through the spinal cord to every vital organ in your body. So I wanted to continue to talk about that in relationship to its impact on the brain and on the body itself. Because the drug of ingesting marijuana affects other areas of the brain as well. So there are some primary areas that are being affected that could have an impact on things like your coordination, for example. But in general, when we think about marijuana or using marijuana, it impacts the body as a whole. It impacts the entire body, including your immune system and your immune system's ability to fight off illness. Is one example of that. And so that's one of the major points I wanted to make, is that it does have an impact, and these impacts can be detrimental to us as a whole. And so that's one of the major points I wanted to make. But when you think about the brain and you think about the use of marijuana, take a look at the brain itself. So the brain, or our brains, they're made up of literally billions of tiny cells that are called neurons. These cells communicate with one another. And so your thoughts, how you think, your feelings, which means your emotions, and your behaviors are all determined by the communication from one of these neurons to the next. The chemicals carry messages throughout the brain and as well as through the spinal cord. One of these chemicals are called, and I've talked about this before, It's called dopamine. So dopamine is the brain's chemical that primarily is responsible for pleasurable feelings, the feeling of euphoria, you know, being euphoric. All of these things are actually influenced by this chemical in the brain called dopamine. Now, that's very similar to other forms of drug use. What marijuana does is that it stimulates the release of dopamine. And the flooding of dopamine triggers this reward center in the brain. So when you use marijuana, the brain experiences this reward due to the release of dopamine. Because what's happened is that you've now convinced your mind that whatever you just did was pleasurable. And not only that, but it should be repeated. And so you start to see how these things all kind of fit together in terms of the use of marijuana and its impact on the brain. So the primary point I want to make is that this is not that much different from when you go to a doctor and he prescribes some other medication for you that might be related, for example, to anxiety. It basically impacts the brain, and that triggers issues within the circulatory system that over the long run can be very, very damaging. And so the basic point I wanted to leave this morning with those who are listening is that if you're using marijuana, whether you're using it particularly in terms of mental health that might relate to relieving stress, or it might relate to anxiety, or it might relate to depression, what you're actually doing is that you're treating symptoms, but you're not addressing the cause. So if you want to just treat the symptoms, that will carry you during the course of the day, in the short run, over the course of time. But unless you deal with the cause or causes, then treating the symptoms is almost like a revolving door that continues to go round and round. It doesn't really take you where you need to go. And so my point is that, I'm not taking a position on whether you should use marijuana as a recreational vehicle or if it's used for medical reasons. Because with any medication, particularly that's prescribed by a doctor, there will always be some side effects. But in terms of looking at one's mental health, the key is that you want to address what are the causes and not just deal with symptoms. So if you're going through a constant state of feeling anxious or anxiety is something that's bothering you, and basically anxiety and depression are the key driving forces in most mental health cases that I see and that you start to see in general. If those are the issues that's really driving you at this point, you really want to begin to address what are the underlying causes that contribute to it. And oftentimes those things will be addressed by looking also within, that is looking within yourself to begin to identify what are the triggers that's causing the anxiety that happens in your life? What are the triggers that tend to be driving the depression? What are the triggers that tend to be driving these forces of panic attacks? What are the triggers that makes it so obvious to you that you're dealing with some post-traumatic stress? And once you begin to understand what the triggers are, you start to begin to look a little deeper into the causes, because there's always a cause and effect. And so my point again today is, you know, I'm not a medical doctor, nor do I propose to be, and I'm not taking a position on the use of marijuana one way or the other. But what I am saying is that if you're using it only to deal with symptoms, it will only have a short-term effect over the course of your life. But if you really want to dig deeper to begin to understand what are some of the source factors that drive those mental health issues that cause depression, anxiety, PTSD, and on, you have to look at what are the underlying causes. And once you begin to address the underlying causes, it becomes something that you can actually start to deal with, because you can't really address an issue until you clearly identify what it is and what are the triggers, what are the things that's contributing. So that's my primary lesson this morning, or my primary talk, Brother Rob, is to think about not only marijuana in terms of its usage, but all drugs that you might use, even those that are prescribed by doctors, whether or not you want to really deal with the underlying reasons. And that really is going to take you toward dealing with it in a solution-focused way. And I just want to end by saying that one of the things that I focus on in talking to people is something called solution-focused therapy. Solution-focused therapy. I would really challenge the listeners to really Google that, because with solution-focused therapy, you're really trying to get at the heart of what's going on in the person's life, and you're trying to also identify some very practical things that can be done to address them. And so I found that to be helpful in many instances. Sometimes you really need to go back a little further to deal with, you know, things that may have happened during one's childhood. But a lot of times, if you use solution-focused therapy, you tend to stay in the present, and also you focus a lot more on the future. So anyway, those are just a few tips I wanted to leave you with today, Brother Rob, and I'm going to end there, and hope I've said something that might be of some value for those who are listening this morning. And hope that you and others will have a very productive, safe, good, safe week, and that may it be the will of the Most High, we're able to once again on next week come back for another period of Mental Health Monday.
Yes, absolutely. And yes, there have been several things that you say every single week that make us get better at being better and really be able to pay attention to a lot more things that we never paid attention to. And even in our lives, even if we did it just once, we're now taking more heed of it. So thank you for the countless valuable information that you give us every single week, Dr. Bowen. Really appreciate you. And, hey, look, we're going to catch you next week.
Next week. Looking forward to it, Brother Rob.
Looking forward to it as well, King. Take care. Have a good week.
Take care. You too.
All right, that's right. And see, that was just the first part of the Power Hour, right? And now that you've got that part of the Power Hour, you must get the second half of the Power Hour, Mindset Monday, presented by Passion Purpose Coaching and Paradigm Shift Marathon of the Mindset, is coming up next.